Romans chapter 5. Let me try to review. Remember, I stated 10 things concerning our condition. That is the condition. Let me put it this way. The condition even of the elect of God by nature. Now this is the condition of all mankind by nature. But it is even the condition of the elect. I don't know that anyone teaches this. I mean, I don't know that I've actually heard it preached. But I do think that some people, for some reason, have something in their heads that they just don't quite grasp the truth of this. And they believe in the election. They believe that there are some people that God did not choose. Scripture would call it, he rejected them. He reprobated them. Now, they may believe this, but yet it's almost like, well, the elect are born different. Because after all, when they hear the gospel is able to affect them in some way. Right? That's the way some people think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the truth is, the gospel had no more effect on me than it had on Pharaoh by nature.
Exactly.
There was nothing in me that made me more conducive to the gospel than does Satan himself. You see, we are, by the fall of our father Adam, we're all in a state of judgment and condemnation. Now, that was the first one. We're judged and condemned to a fallen state in the one sin of our father Adam.
Yes, sir.
And that is important. It is vital to a proper understanding of the condition of the state of humanity. Secondly, we were conceived and born into a sinful state.
Yes, sir.
Thirdly, being conceived and born into this sinful state, we were estranged from God from the womb.
Amen.
We were not born God's friends.
No.
Even the elect of God. We were not born the friends of God. No. We were born estranged from the womb. Fourthly, we live lives contrary to God and in conformity to Satan. We wasn't just in a neutral position.
Exactly.
We lived in conformity to Satan. Fifthly, we have committed capital crimes against God. I like to state it this way. Sometimes this helps. Sometimes the mind to grasp. Sometimes it don't. Of course, all of that's up to the Spirit of God. But remember it this way. There, when it comes to sin, before God, there are no misdemeanors.
That's it.
I mean, there is no big sin and little sin. There is no bad sin and not quite so bad sin. There may be that to us.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm afraid it's hard for us to escape that emotion. Right? Because that's what it is for us. It's an emotion.
Yeah.
You know, we put up with some things, other things we won't put up with. Right? And I bet you we all do that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we? And because of our personal makeup or personal character or whatever, we kind of pick and choose what we'll kind of let slide, put up with, and then sometimes we just put our foot down and say, that's enough. I won't have it anymore. I won't even associate with you if that's the way you're going to be. Now, we all do that. But as far as God's concerned, he don't do that. God don't do that. God don't say, well, I let that one slide. Remember, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And there's more to that, but we'll look at that later. Sixthly, we were blinded to the gospel of Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's what I mentioned to start with. I mean, I had no more propensity to believe, trust, and love the gospel of Christ than any other person on this earth as I was born in nature. And seventhly, we were at enmity with God.
Yes, sir.
The next one is, we were the enemies of God. And those things are very similar, but they show us a little different. One talks about our state.
Yeah.
We might call it a legal state, a judicial state. Mm-hmm. Okay? We were at enmity with God. The flesh is at enmity with God. But in Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, we were also enemies of God by wicked works.
Amen.
That is, we actually engaged in things which were enmity against God.
Yeah.
It was not just We have this state, but this state results in what? Actions, efforts, works that were contrary to God. 9, our condition before God is stating as being from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, we're said to have wounds, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I mean, you think of a person that is just one big, nauseous, stinking, rotting sore from the top of their head to the sole of their feet.
That's it.
I'm reminded, when I read that, I'm reminded of several things, but I'm reminded of one passage. Remember, it's very early on, where it says that the deeds of men, the actions of men, come up as a stench in God's nostrils. Isn't that the way the book puts it?
Mm-hmm.
But so vile, as I said, I mentioned this, I'm reviewing, we're so vile, it's even more than that. It says that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Exactly.
Now, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but you think about it, I'm putting it in this light. God does not accept me even based upon what he has done to me.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, he's done something to me. He gave me life.
Yeah.
He gave me faith. He gave me repentance. Mm-hmm. He enables me to walk in good works, because it says he before ordained that we should, therefore what? We do. You know, in spite of ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
But all of this he has done to me. This is not that by which he accepts me. If I present those things to God as my acceptance, there's a fault there. Because me is included in it. You see, God accepts me based upon what he has done for me in Christ Jesus. I am, you are, accepted of God based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. What he did by himself, not merely based upon, well, what God did for me,
mm-hmm.
or to me, I should change the word there, to me. There's a lot of people think, well, now, God accepts me now because he saved me. Right? That's the way they view it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm accepted of God now because I went forward, I believed in Christ, I trusted him, he's my Lord, I confessed him as Lord, so I'm accepted of God now. That's not true. Scripture says we were accepted of the Beloved.
Amen.
Accepted by God in the Beloved, I should say.
Yeah.
And that took place when? Before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So again, I say, there is a place where we truly, this is not just a phrase. It's not just a nice little prophetic phrase. Even our righteousness are filthy rags in God's sight.
Yeah.
This is not some false humility. This is reality. Even my best deeds are not presentable to God apart from Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Okay? He had to atone for all I am.
Exactly.
You know? He had to atone for everything. You know, and I think I mentioned it last week. It's hard to remember when I didn't. I mentioned this a lot. That when we've done all that it is our duty to do, we still have to say about ourselves, what do we say? We are unprofitable servants. But, now what I realize, this is not sweet little birdie song type doctrine, is it? It's not something when you go away this morning, you just, when you think about what you really are by nature, well, boy, I'm so happy now. I'm ready to face the day. You know what I mean? This can get you down. But remember, I said there's at least two very important reasons why we have to be constantly reminded of this. One, our actual state magnifies the actual kind of grace it took to get us out of where we were.
Amen.
You know? Our state by the fall manifests how great God's grace really is. Well, there's some people out there that think grace is just tit for tat. And they say it.
Yeah.
And come on, they'll say, God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That's tit for tat. He done some, now you do some.
That's
right?
That's
what. Here's another. You take the first step, God will meet you halfway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I heard Henry Mahan say this one time, that's why I quote him in it. He said, if I can take the first step, I don't need God.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
that's
the first step is to come up out of the grave.
Exactly.
You know, and if I can raise myself from the dead, I can do anything else.
Pretty much.
Right? It's amazing. Well, here's another thing that amazes me. These people that believe in free will before you save, but after you save, you lose it.
That's it.
Or it's of no value anymore. I had a fellow tell me that one time. He said, well, I believe in free will before you save, but after you save, I believe God keeps you and it's not up to you. I said, well, that's, you know, you're good enough in yourself to get yourself saved, but then once you get yourself saved, you're not good enough to keep yourself saved.
Exactly.
You talk about inconsistent.
That's it.
You know? The truth is, and remember this phrase, free will is nothing more than self-will disguised in religious rhetoric.
Amen.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
There is no such thing, there is no such thing as true free will outside of God himself.
Exactly.
Now we may think of even Adam, but Adam cannot truly be said, he was not free. He was under a command from God. There was one thing you're not to do. So he wasn't totally free, was he? Huh? Now nobody's ever given God a command what not to do.
Exactly.
There's some things God doesn't do because it's outside his character. He just doesn't do those things. But he does not do them being constrained to. He does them simply because that's who he is. He either does what he is, he don't do what he's not. No, that's remember that free will is nothing more than self-will, and Scripture condemns self-will. Self-willed are they. Isn't that what it says? It's amazing. Now you see, when a person talks like that, it begins to manifest. When they use these phrases, and I don't mean just the phrase, but you know, we define ourselves by speech and terms and language. And when you hear a person constantly talking about free will or divine spark, after a while you begin to wonder, has God really ever done anything for them? Because when God does do something, and let me change that back, when God does do something to you, you begin to realize what you really are.
Yes.
I know for me, it didn't start just with a mere doctrine. Well, we are totally depraved. I didn't know what that meant. I mean, just like Joe mentioned, the one preacher who got very upset at us. Well, let me say, he got very upset at the truth. Now, that's what it was. It wasn't us. But I remember Spurgeon was a four-pointer, you know. And Joe said he didn't know what a five-pointer, a four-pointer, or anything else pointer was, you know. Somebody would have come to me years ago and said, well, I believe a man's totally depraved. I probably would have had no idea what they really meant. But there did come a time in my life when I knew this. If God ever does for somebody else what he did for me, they will bow down to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because I knew I had no option.
Yeah.
I knew all the fighting, the arguing, the no's, that can't be's, but I know, Jack, God brought me down. He did it. He kept it up until finally I just had to lay flat and be still and see what he does. Quit fighting. That's basically what we do. It's not that we do anything. We quit doing.
Yeah.
And then just wait on God to do.
Exactly.
You know? It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Doesn't it say that?
Amen.
No, but most people are just like Paul talked about the Jews. They're always, always going about, always active.
Yeah.
Always got to be doing something for God. Well, when you breathe for God.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? When you turn that TV on, you turn that TV on with the mindset of Christ and watch it in light of his truth. When you go to work, you go and you do your job as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Doesn't matter whether you're digging a septic tank or whether you're watching inmates in a state prison. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know? Everything we do is to be as unto the Lord. But what most people are trying to do is religious things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They see, I go to my job, but then there, I do religious things to serve the Lord. No, if your job is to hit keys on a keyboard And that's what they pay you for, is to put information into a computer. When you do that, you're serving God.
Yes, sir.
You're doing that as the Lord's servant. And only if you do it not as a man pleaser.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of modern day phrases I'd just dearly love to use to define that to you, but you know what that means, don't you? A man pleaser. Now we are by nature a despicable lot. And again, let me say, we were judged and condemned to a fallen state in the one sin of our father Adam. The deck was stacked against us from the beginning. God didn't leave it up to us.
That's it.
Did he? He didn't leave it up to us. Now look at it, Romans chapter 5. Now, I know we know this, but being reminded of this, we'll see to some degree that the majesty of God's grace.
Yes.
Okay? But not only that, we'll also be constantly warned about what still resides within us.
Exactly.
The flesh.
That's it.
You see, if I was capable of it before conversion, I'm capable of it after conversion.
Yeah. That's it.
Because that, the flesh, didn't change. God didn't do anything for the flesh. And we're told not to do something to the flesh, but to the appendages of it, the members of it.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a fornicator, cut it off. Right? If you're a thief, quit. If you're a drunkard, quit. That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not you get rid of the flesh. And somebody said, if only we could. God didn't purpose it that way. So just quit worrying about it. God didn't design, or his purpose, his design is not that the flesh be taken care of now, but that its members be flopped off here and there.
Mm-hmm.
When one of them starts to rise up, just chop it off.
Yeah.
Put it down. But here we are. Look at it. Romans 5. I need to move along. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now, there's two parts there. Wherefore, as by one man. Okay? That's the first thing I want to stress. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered, and then notice where it ended, into the world. You know what Scripture doesn't tell us? It doesn't really define for us. It doesn't really give us a definitive place or person, and especially a time where sin began. You know that? Because our concern is not with where sin began, but how did sin begin in the world?
Yeah.
Because that's what affects me.
Exactly.
We know Satan fell before Adam and Eve were created.
Yeah.
Right? We do know this, and now some people would disagree with that because they don't believe certain passages are really speaking of Satan. But we do know this. We know Satan fell before Adam and Eve fell. We know that is a definite fact of Scripture. We can argue about the interpretation of certain passages all you want. That's no interpretation. Satan was already fallen before Adam and Eve fell, right? That's established. But God doesn't discuss with us, well, where did sin arise from within Satan? Don't worry about it. That's not our business. Our concern deals with this. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world.
Yes.
Man is responsible for his own sin. We cannot blame the devil.
Yeah. That's right.
We were in an upright state when we were tempted. We were created and called by our Creator, even this, very good. Not just good, we were called very good. We were in, and I know there's a better word, but we were in a utopia to where everything was at our disposal and was for us.
Yes, sir.
And we were told, don't eat of that one tree.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, we did.
Yes, sir.
And somebody says, why do you keep saying we did? Because we did. Because when our daddy Adam did everything he did, we were in his loins. He acted, he conducted himself for us.
Amen.
On our behalf. He was our federal head. He acted in our place.
Yeah.
And we're not even talking about Eve.
No.
It doesn't say wherefore by two people. No, Eve was not our federal head. Adam was. Eve was deceived. Adam was not.
Amen. That's it.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. And think about this. And death by sin. But here's the important. Here it's going to give us some reason, some statement as to how to define this. And so, and death by sin.
Yeah.
You see that? Look, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Amen.
Now that includes everybody, even those that have not even been born yet.
That's right.
That included us, because Paul wrote this around 2,000 years ago.
Exactly.
And it included us. We weren't even born then, but we'd already sinned. How did we sin? When our daddy took that fruit.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's what he's saying here. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passing upon all men. Is that what that says? That's the way most people think of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Adam sinned, well, we all one day will go to the grave. Who was it? Elijah was taken up?
Yeah.
Right? And he didn't die, right? It was Elijah, right? That was one of the prophets was taken up. You know what? Even he died in Adam. He was born. He was conceived and born with this death. This is not physical death. This is real death.
Yes, sir.
It's real death. The physical death is only a result of that death.
Exactly.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed. This is a judicial judgment of God. God said, when you eat of that fruit, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not you will begin dying. Or not then a few hundred years later you will die. But in the day you eat of it, you'll die. And he died. That was the judgment of God. It was the judgment God promised would come when he did it.
Yes, sir.
And that's when we sinned. And that's when we died.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, when we're conceived, that's the order of this, even when we're conceived, Joe, we're conceived dead. As alive as that sperm and embryo, alive as it may be, it's still dead before God.
Yeah.
It's still under the judicial curse of God,
yes.
Judgment and condemnation. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see that? And this is just where the flesh, the human mind, the natural mind, the Adamic nature says, no way.
Yeah.
I ought to stand on my own.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if only you knew how dangerous that really was.
Yes, sir. That's it.
To stand on your own?
Huh?
Let me tell you something. Even Adam didn't stand on his own.
That's right.
He stood for us, and his only hope was that somebody else would stand for him.
Exactly.
In a different light. Huh? You stand on your own, you die on your own without hope.
Exactly.
If God is, and he is, I mean that in the, let me just put, since God is, let me put it that way so there's no misunderstanding. Since God is absolutely holy, when it says the soul that sinneth it shall die, if I stand on my own, when I commit my first sin, what's my place?
Yeah.
Final damnation.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I mean total estrangement from God eternally. There is no hope.
Exactly.
Huh? I want to tell you something. Well, this may sound odd to some folks, but I think you'll know this because I say this in light of grace. Thank God I fell in my daddy Adam. God, I didn't fall in myself.
Yeah.
You know, I fell in a substitute. I fell in a representative. And thank God I was also redeemed by a representative.
Amen.
I've been saved by a substitute.
Yes, sir.
Now, you will notice here, we've got a few more minutes, that there's this parenthesis, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because the Greek does have a couple marks here that distinguish verse 12 and puts verse 18 with it and puts these other verses, what we have as verses, as an explanation to verse 12. But let's just read it as it would have been had Paul, not by the Spirit, been given this second thought of explaining something here. Now look at it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to what? Condemnation.
Yes, sir.
Even so, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. But, whoa, wait a minute, now what? What? Look at justification of life. For, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
What did our state in this life, what did it depend on?
Yeah.
Did it depend upon anything we would do? No. It depended upon what Adam did.
That's true.
Right? That's the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle of man's condition depended upon Adam's action.
Yes, sir.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That is in the aorist, passive indicative. We had nothing whatsoever to do with it. Physically, emotionally, experientially. It happened way back yonder.
Yes, sir.
But what? Nevertheless, what happened? I was made. I mean, constituted to be.
Yeah.
That's what another way you can put it. For as by one man's disobedience, many were constituted to be sinners.
Yes.
You see, this is, again, I say, this is not an experiential thing. This is a legal or judicial thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's judgment.
Yes, sir.
Most people think of God's judgment, just they think of in hell.
Yeah.
Right?
The
lake of fire, or some bad storm comes along.
Yeah.
Tears down my house and knocks over my outbuilding. And, you know, I have a flat tire on the highway. You know? Well, that's God's judgment against me. No, you're probably just too tight to buy new tires and tread wore out on you. That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Or some other idiot threw out something sharp and you ran across it. You know? It may not be the judgment of God. It may have been the mercy of God.
That's right.
You know, who knows? It may have slowed you down just at the appropriate time to keep you out of something else. Who knows?
Exactly.
You know, we don't know those things. No, we think of the judgment of God, hell and the lake of fire, and that is. I'm not trying to belittle that, but the judgment of God is also our state, our condition. That was God's judgment.
Yes.
It wasn't just, oh, well, if Adam does that, I guess I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? That is not the way God does anything.
No.
God warned Adam, this is the way it will be
when
you do.
That's right.
It was God's judgment against such sin.
Yeah.
When our daddy fell, we fell with him.
Yes, sir.
We fell just as far as he did.
Yeah. Exactly.
And how far did he fall? It's called death. Right?
Right?
I mean, there is no other human term to define anything else any worse than that. That's the finality, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, death. And it was immediate death.
Yeah.
Not some expected coming along later on in Latin, in the day thou eatest thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe, now some people say, well, God postponed, they say this, God postponed that. No, Adam died that day.
Yes, sir.
Because he died spiritually.
Exactly.
He absolutely lost any fellowship with God. And you know what? What wisdom he gained was to his harm.
Yeah, that's right.
Because rather than seeking God's forgiveness and mercy, right? What did he do? He tried to cover up his own nakedness with the work of his own hands.
Yeah.
Did he not? And then when Christ came, and that's who it is, the voice of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
When Christ came walking in the cool of the day, Adam hid from him.
Yes, sir.
Right? When at one time he had intimate fellowship with him, now he's running from him.
That's right.
Trying to hide from him. And it says, there is none that seeketh after God.
Amen.
You see, we failed to the we where Adam failed, that's where we failed to.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, but isn't it glorious? For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Now remember I said it's the aorist passive. That happened. It's a one time act, it's done and it's over with.
Yeah.
But look at how it slightly changes, but still there's similarity there. You see, that's why you see that phrase, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's like today you hear people say, it's the same but different. It's along that line. Now, let me show you. Look. So by the obedience of one,
amen,
shall many be made righteous. That, again, is future. It's future, it's not aorist, it's not something that's past, it's something that is going to happen, but it's definitely going to happen.
Yes.
Right? So by the obedience of one shall many be made, that is, be constituted righteous. That's the future passive. Same thing again.
Yes, sir.
It's not God's going to do his part, you do your part. No, it's when God done his part, that's all it takes. That's the whole thing. That's all it takes. There is no God does his part, we do our part. God does his part, it's done.
Amen.
Can you believe that?
Amen.
You see, that's how you preach the gospel. And I'm not talking about me. Is we don't get out there and try, we're not out there trying to get people to make decisions. We're there to tell people who God is and what he's done in Christ. Can you believe that? Can you bow to that?
That's it.
Do you love that? Do you trust that? Does that give you true bona fide hope?
Yes.
Does your heart set its seal to that? That is the truth of God.
Yes. That's it.
I mean, we've got people there. We've got people there at the prison. They're trained how to talk people out of things in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And folks, I wouldn't want that job.
No.
Now, you all, what's the term? I can't.
Negotiator.
The negotiator. But that's not the actual term we use. But that's what they do. You know, if somebody takes somebody hostage and then they call and you got to go get on the phone with that person. And there's some rules you got to follow.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing about it is that what I'm saying that for is you can talk almost anybody into almost anything.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at. You can be trained to talk almost anybody. Maybe not everybody, but almost anybody into almost anything.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, we're not to use the gospel that way.
Exactly.
We're not trying to talk people psychologically into something. Just tell them how it is. Here's the truth. Do you believe it or not?
Amen.
You see, because the fact is, we are as bad as what we're reading here.
Exactly.
We are actually that bad.
Yeah.
So all we can do is just, David, state the truth as ably as we can.
Yeah.
And then just take your hands off of it.
Yes, sir.
Leave it up to God. Mm-hmm. Because even if I do, through psychological tricks and ploys, even if I use the truth to convince somebody to believe the truth, the problem is I'm the one that done it.
Yeah.
And except the Lord building the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Amen.
You see, if I've built the house, it's on the wrong foundation.
That's exactly it.
If God builds it, it's on a sure foundation.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you bless us as we go our separate ways. And Lord, also in expectation, at least in expecting to still be here apart from thy purpose, the next week, Lord, that we gather together. Be with us as we gather together and have fellowship and a meal together. Lord, may we truly, by thy Spirit, be mindful of one another. Whether we're at work, no matter where we're at, Lord, may we be thinking about one another. And all of that, may it be in the background and as the foundation. May all of that be undergirded by the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I ask it in his name. Amen.